The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Trevor Story is in, Alex Bregman and Lucas Giolito are out. So that is how the Red Sox have kicked off their offseason. Some options being picked up and declined this week, not just in Boston, but across baseball. So we're here to break it down for you guys. I'm your host. I'm Jason. I'm here with Terry and Chris. So guys, let's start off with, I think, what is sort of the bigger, less obvious news, which is that Trevor Story has opted into the remaining 2 years of his Boston Red Sox contract. Chris, your thoughts?
I'm not too thrilled about it. I kind of wanted him to opt out and for us to look to upgrade. I mean, he did have a pretty good season for us last year. He stayed healthy for the most part. And if I had the confidence that he could do that for the remainder of the contract, I probably wouldn't be as down on it, but I just feel like he's a ticking time bomb, and you know, the majority of his stay has been him getting hurt. And you know, I know there's a ton of different sentiments out there from Red Sox fans here. You know, there's some fans where it's, well, of course he wasn't going to opt out, and he's going to say that it was about loyalty and that he likes the team, but he doesn't think he can get the money, which I think is a fair take. And I think there's Red Sox fans out there that do believe that there's, you know, some sort of loyalty from Trevor Story. He feels good about the team, the direction. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think both are fair points, because I think the fact the Red Sox hung in there with Trevor Story, he probably feels indebted to the fact that with him being injured as often as he is, that we're going to be a team that's going to give him an opportunity and a shot. But I also do believe that there's probably not many teams out there that were willing to hand him more money than the Red Sox were with the duration of the contract that he opted into. So I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Would have liked to be able to upgrade the position, but this is where we're at.
Yeah, so a week ago, I'd say 100% Trevor Story is opting in. You know, we've kind of broke it down. I think he's like a $15 million a year player, tops. You know, so if he got a three-year deal, he's getting, what would that be? 15, 30, 45 million, if my assessment on what he is true. So why opt out when you're already getting 50 million for the next 2 years? So it just made more sense that he would opt in. And then either yesterday or the day before, so Monday or Tuesday, Baseball America came out with their projections, and they had Trevor Story getting a four-year, $110 million deal. Now, I look at that and I'm thinking, that sounds like an overpay. It sounds like an overpay to me, but what if I'm wrong? And what if that's realistic? I haven't looked at the shortstop market this year. I know Bo Bichette is a free agent, but he's a terrible shortstop defensively. Probably should go to either third or second base, but I don't think the middle infield market is super robust. So maybe that's why Trevor Story would command a bigger number than I expected. And when I saw that, I was like all in. I'm like, I hope he opts out. I really do. And the reason I would want that is because you essentially have a clean slate. The only big money outside of Crochet or your young pre-arb guys that you've extended, the only big money on the books would be Yoshida. And I'm thinking, if you can clear Story off, maybe they will finally DFA Masataki Yoshida, and you truly have a clean slate. For Breslow, and I'm not optimistic about this under any circumstances, but he would be able to really build a roster that's his and, you know, set up a nice, you've got longer than a 3 to 4 year window, but there's a lot of 3 to 4 year guys you can plug in there. Kyle Schwarber, Eugenio Suarez slipped on the first name there. Pete Alonso, potentially. There's been reports Red Sox are not too high on him, maybe. So that's why I wanted Story to opt out, but we've got him for two more years. And oh, well.
So I guess I'm the opposite of you guys, because I actually am pretty glad that he opted back in. Only because if Story opts out, you're now looking at retooling your entire infield, because the only guy that you've got left for sure coming back and, you know, being a regular contributor at that point is Marcelo Meyer. Look, I've talked about Tristan Casas before. Like, he's no guarantee over there at first base after that injury. And, you know, not to be cruel, but let's not forget, people, that before he was hurt, he sucked. Like, he was not giving you the production that you need at first base. Second base has been a rotating door for a couple of years now. And now Alex Bregman is left, so you don't have a third baseman at the moment. So if Trevor Story were to opt out, you're left with Marcelo Meyer and a recovering Tristan Casas, who, by the way, is already starting to piss me off with his cryptic Instagram posts about God knows what, where he's not making any sense. So he's already kicked off his offseason in a great fashion. So, yeah, like I didn't mind Trevor Story opting back in. The money's not crazy to me. And look, I don't think he's going to repeat what he did in 2025. That was, you know, that was kind of insane what he was able to do. But it's also not that far off from what he was doing in Colorado before he came here. That's the player he was his career in Colorado. He was 25 to 30 homers. Yes, he strikes out a lot. You know, he was better defensively in his younger age. Now he's kind of declining a little bit, but he can still steal bases. Like, he's a very productive player. So I don't mind it. Now, I would have loved if him opting back in came with like a little, you know, tagline of, oh, and by the way, I'm moving to second base. That would be ideal in a perfect world. That's what you want, because ultimately I think Meyer is the better defensive option at shortstop. I think Story should move to second base given his elbow problems. And we saw it towards the end of the year. I mean, every throw was getting put in the dirt. I mean, he can't hold up at shortstop anymore. And it is surprising, as Terry mentioned, the middle infield market's not that great. I mean, Bo Bichette's at the top of it, but after that, this, you know, you're looking at guys like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and, you know, sort of these role players. Bo Bichette's going to get a huge contract. He also sucks defensively. So, you know, Trevor Story really could have been one of the top free agents out there if he had decided to opt out. So I think in a way the Red Sox got lucky here, because if he had, now you're really scrambling. I mean, do you really want to pay Bo Bichette, you know, a 7-year contract for a guy who, yeah, he can hit, but has trouble staying healthy and really is bad defensively? Like, probably he's going to have to move to third base or maybe even be a DH. So I think the Red Sox kind of lucked out here. I know I might be in the minority there, but he's also a glue guy. If Bregman doesn't come back, I think Story is one of these guys, one of these veterans that Anthony, Meyer, the younger guys like playing with, or they like dealing with. You know, he has that fielding camp every spring. So that also, I think, means a little bit to a team like the Red Sox that is developing that chemistry and starting to, you know, develop a team identity going forward. So I'm fine with it. Again, the money's not crazy to me, and he won't repeat what he did this year, but if he can at least get close, I think that's really good value.
Which position is he going to play?
So he's probably going to start at shortstop, which I think is a mistake, but I think they don't want to, I don't think they want a repeat of the Rafael Devers situation. Not that I think Trevor Story would be as unprofessional as Rafi was, but I think they're so gun shy to try to move positions with guys now that he'll start at shortstop until it gets untenable. And then I think they'll make a switch.
I think it's a fair point, Jason, that I would probably be more optimistic if I was confident that he's going to stay healthy. I think the thing for me is, even if he gets hurt, if the Red Sox were the Red Sox that we expect him to be, the money that we're paying him, even if he does get hurt, we a little bit overcome and we'll outspend it by replacing him with it. But because the Sox are so damn cheap now, like, if he does get hurt, any money you're paying him, I just have zero confidence that we're going to be able to allocate the resources to truly replace him. And at what point does it become platoon dynasty times two at that point?
Don't get me started on that. If Nate Eaton is in that lineup on opening day, I'm going to lose my mind. But the thing that gives me pause about him definitely going to shortstop is I think it would be easier to just put him somewhere else than take the position away from him. I mean, the optics are better and, you know, Story has his money. So I just think that in regards to the health, I'm not real worried about that. It's just the performance. And he struck out 176 times. That was 16th in MLB. I would have assumed it was higher. Ohtani was actually top 7 or 8. I couldn't believe it. 187 strikeouts. But so I just, and then his on base was only 304, which sucks. So if those numbers come down, I don't think it's going to be as painful as April and May Trevor Story of last year, but you know, I could see us kind of rolling our eyes as he comes up to the plate every night. You know, you got runners on, you need something to happen, and he whiffs.
Terry, you're not worried about injury. I mean, I think last year was the first year he got out of May as a Red Sox.
Well, I don't have his page up, but he had the shoulder injury the year before, and then he had Tommy John. I don't think there's been, outside of those two, a real history of injuries.
Yeah, he averaged around 140 to 150 games in Colorado. The only outlier was obviously 2020, the 60-game season. He played, I think, 57 of them. So he actually, with Colorado, he stayed healthy. And you have to remember, like, one of those injuries was a freak injury that he had with the Red Sox. I mean, sure, like, it was frustrating at the time, but he was laying out for, you know, a line drive and landed on his shoulder the wrong way. And, you know, look, we've seen it. That can happen to anybody. Tristan Casas gets all sorts of freak injuries just from swinging a bat or running down the first baseline. Roman Anthony, unfortunately, had his first freak injury swinging the bat too. It's frustrating, but I think Trevor Story, I agree with Terry. Like, I'm not as worried about the health. I'm more worried about positioning. And what I wanted to ask you guys is, do you think think him opting in and not going to free agency came along with sort of a handshake agreement of, yeah, we're going to keep you at shortstop. Don't worry. We're not moving your position. Or do you think he opted in and said, hey, if you move me to second base, I'm fine with it. I'm just happy to be here.
It's a good question. God, I hope not. I hope there was not a handshake agreement. But, you know, with the status of, I mean, talk about in someone that you're worried about with injury, Marcelo Meyer, which, I mean, that's someone I'm certainly worried about, even more so than Trevor Story. It wouldn't shock me if they committed to him at shortstop because they're probably pausing on making any sort of commitment to Marcelo Meyer at any position long-term just because of his health. But the reason why I say I hope that's not the case is on the off chance that Marcelo Meyer is healthy and is able to put it together next season, like I think we're hamstringing ourselves and we're not putting out the best defensive team that we can if we're keeping Story out there if he's not the best option.
I think he's a second baseman at this point. That's where I really want to see him, whether Meyer is ready or not. You know, I mean, if he couldn't get the ball to first base from shortstop, I don't know what adding another, you know, 40 or 50 feet over at third base is going to do, you know, with that. And his arm isn't strong. Last I checked, his whatever those metrics were weren't super great. So, but here's a list of the free agents here for shortstops. You've got World Series Bucky Dent, Miguel Rojas, that is a free agent. Bo Bichette, Haesung Kim, I guess. I thought he had more than a year. That's a guy I'd be interested in if you could get him on a 2 to 3 year deal. And then you've got Jorge Mateo, Orlando Arcia, Tim Anderson, I don't think is doing a whole lot these days. not that we would want him. That's how weak the market is. So I'm going to pose this question to you guys. More than a 5% chance the Red Sox trade Trevor Story? Yes or no?
More than a 5% chance is the question?
He'd be one of the best guys on the list.
I would say maybe slightly more. I'd say there's a 10% chance.
Yeah, I think if the question is there more of a more than 5% or 10% of a chance? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, now he's got a contract that's pretty tradable because it's sort of like what Nolan Arenado is right now. Like, he's only got 2 years left. So if any team is concerned about his age or injury history or whatever, it's 2 years. If you're a team desperate for a right-handed power bat, which a lot of teams around the trade deadline are, or even in the offseason, then yeah, absolutely, he's still a valuable asset. And at worst, if you're really terrified of his defense, you know, if you have an open DH spot, you can stick him there. So yeah, I think there's more than a 5% or 10% chance that they would trade him. I wouldn't put it above like 40 right now. I think we're somewhere between like a 10 and 30% chance. Like, it would have to, and it depends on how the Red Sox do. Are they 10 games under 500 at the deadline or over? If they're 10 games under, then yeah, that percentage is going to go up. But as it stands right now for a team that I hope and pray and think is trying to compete again and get back to the playoffs, I think we're more closer to 10%.
I got a question based off of Terry's question. Where do you see as a more likely scenario of Trevor Story getting traded in the scenario that Jason just kind of outlined where we're out of it and we're just kind of getting rid of him to dump him off and maybe get some prospects, et cetera? Or could you see in this offseason with all this talk and swirl of adding starting pitching or maybe some positional players, since we do have so many damn holes to fill potentially, him ending up in a deal because that contract is so tradable and upgrading a position or pitching? What's more likely?
Jason?
I feel like it's more likely it's a deadline deal, and it's a not salary dump, but like you said, like get prospects back for the asset. I think if you're looking at trading for a starting pitcher, like, it just kind of doesn't line up unless, I mean, I guess if you want to go for like Sandy Alcantara, sure, but why would the Marlins want to take on Trevor Story? I don't think the Marlins are trying to win right now. So it'd have to be a team that's like trying to win. So if you look at, you know, do you want one of Seattle's pitchers? Well, they already have a shortstop. They've got J.P. Crawford, and I think they're pretty happy with him. Now, we'll see how their offseason goes, because their two biggest deadline acquisitions are free agents in Suarez and Naylor. So they might lose both those guys and say, you know what, actually, we're actually really desperate for another right-handed bat, and maybe they do make a deal like that. But I think ultimately it's more likely that Story, if he does get dealt, it's a deadline move, and it's because, unfortunately, the Red Sox are out of it.
I think it would make the most sense if you plan on being aggressive on corner infield, perhaps an outfielder. I think that would be a stretch. But let's get really creative here, you know, with our imaginations. What if you package up Jarren Duran and Trevor Story, and you go to the Royals and work out a deal? I don't know what they have. You're probably targeting major leaguers, but that's a team. It's a small market team, but I think they could absorb that. Another team that could potentially do it that desperately needs pop year after year would be either the Guardians or the Brewers. So this is why I wish we had just a really creative general manager or chief baseball officer, you know, to kind of pull strings like this. You could I don't know why I'm stuttering so much in that. You could subtract Story and Duran and then add an Alonso type guy and or a Suarez. And, you know, suddenly this team is looking really good, I would say. So I don't know. I'm just putting it into the universe.
I have a creative option.
All right.
So a lot of talk with the Sox potentially looking to get Joe Ryan from the Twins. Right? Best shortstop on the Twins right now is Brooks Lee, who's a third baseman. Not a natural shortstop. And he's not a great shortstop to begin with statistically. I think he would add a lot more pop than any option they have currently. And they have the financial flexibility to do because they don't have a lot of money committed to any player in particular on that team. I could see them giving up a pitching prospect, potentially a Trevor Story, and packaging that in a deal with someone that's a little bit more top line to acquire Joe Ryan.
I'd be down for that. I'd be down for a trade like that. I think because Joe Ryan's still going to be on their radar. I mean, he's got to be. And the fact that the Twins are still enamored with Jaron Duran, maybe that's, you know, part of the package, right? I like the Royals option that you brought up, Terry. And, like, I would love, if you're going to do Duran and Story, then give me Bubich and Pascatino back. Because they're going to look to move on from Pascatino. They want Caglianone starting at first base. They stuck him in the outfield because they were desperate for outfield offense. But move on from Pascatino. He'd be a great fit here. I don't care what you do with Tristan Casas. You can send him to Siberia for all I care. And Chris Bubich would be, you know, Nick the Voice as part of our crew. He loves Chris Bubich. And he was maybe a deadline option until he got hurt over the summer. He's a guy who could morph into your number two. Like, he could be your version of the Cole Reagans trade, where he's not really top of the line starter right now, at least in major league eyes, but you get him here, you get him on the right pitching program, he could morph into your number two, and he's cheap and under team control, which we know John Henry loves. So I would like a package like that, sure.
You certainly could get creative if they're willing to do it.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll see what happens with Trevor Story, but at least for now, he is back with the Red Sox for the remaining 2 years. We'll see position-wise how that shakes out once we get closer to the spring. But another guy who is out, along with Alex Bregman, who we might get to a little bit later, Lucas Giolito has turned down his end of the mutual $19 million option. Chris, your reaction to Giolito becoming a free agent?
Bon voyage. I would let him go. I mean, I think he did a good job of recovering from Tommy John, had a pretty good season overall. The fact that he got injured going into the playoffs gave me a little bit of a sour taste of concern. And to be honest with you, he didn't end the season that hot. You know, some of the issues he was having earlier in the season started to rear their ugly head when we needed him most, because when he was still pitching, if we all remember, like, we were still in the middle of fighting to get to the playoffs. And it did not look that good that we were even going to make the playoffs when he was pitching some big starts. And he struggled. Now, it wasn't as bad as in the beginning of the season, but it was still struggling. And then, you know, we really could have used him. It would have been interesting to see if he was pitching in that Yankee series and wasn't hurt and had not gone through his ebbs and flows towards the end of the season. Maybe we do move on in that series. I don't know. But the reality is he was hurt. He didn't pitch. And to me, at his age and the money he's probably going to command, I wouldn't touch it at this point. I think the Sox, we have the financial flexibility. We have the assets out there to go get young, proven talent that we can rely on, that has more upside and doesn't have the injury history. Go out there and do it. I don't care if it's a matter of spending money or spending assets. But to me, at this point, it just doesn't make any financial sense to gamble on Giolito at this point, not the money he's going to want.
Terry.
So if he's healthy, I would deal the qualifying offer with the expectation he declines it, just like Nick Pivetta did. And then you get a draft pick out of it. If the gamble doesn't pay off, you have him for a year. And that's, if healthy, that's not something that I can't live with. We'll talk about some other names here in a minute, but it's just health. And so the mutual option was declined, and the news that broke was that Giolito had declined it. But then we find out the Red Sox had done it earlier. So I don't know if that's weird optically or not. It probably isn't, but, and I don't think a mutual option's been picked up since 2018. So we're pushing the better part of a decade here of mutual options just kind of being a scam. You know, if the player crushes it, he's going to want to hit the market. And if the player doesn't crush it, why would the team want to pick it up? So it's a weird clause to be put into a contract. But yeah, I mean, I don't want him. Like, I want to move on. I want a longer term piece, but I'm willing to risk it for a biscuit if it gets us a compensation pick.
Yeah, the comp pick makes it tough, right? Because you really want to try and, I don't know, finagle that if you can. I'm all set with Giolito as well. I'm not surprised that, you know, they opted out and he opted out, whatever the case may be. You know, the arm injury at the end of the year, I'm with Chris, that really kind of spooked me. It's like, and then all the reports, the flooding of reports from his side, clearly from Giolito's side. So, oh no, he's fine. He's back in a regular throwing program. Everything's fine. It was just a minor flare-up. He's good. Okay, well, minor flare-up, but at the end of the day, you missed, you know, a wild card start when you really, we really could have needed you. You know, so, and just, I don't know. It just feels like September was a rough month for him. He was, you know, it did not look good. He was not lasting that very long in any of his starts. I think the arm was starting to get to him. And I think they were just trying to cover it up as much as possible because obviously over the course of the year, he was very good. So yeah, he wants to hit pay dirt in free agency. I don't blame him. But it's not something I want the Red Sox exploring. You know, he's just, that arm is just going to get more and more mileage on it. I don't know what kind of deal Giolito is seeking or what he's going to get in free agency, but if it's anywhere around the 4 or 5 year mark, I'm all set. I think I'd rather the Red Sox go the trade route, you know, go try and get Joe Ryan or, you know, my guy is Dylan Cease. If you want to go get him, I would love for them to get Dylan Cease. I think that would be a clear upgrade over someone like Giolito. So that's the route that I hope they go. I don't want to offer him the QO. Or no, I want to offer him the QO just because if he's turning down 19 million, I don't think he's going to accept 22. Like, that would be a weird move on his part, but it is dicey because if he does accept it, then you're stuck with him. And then it's like, okay, you know, was that really worth it just to try and squeeze a comp pick out? So part of me is hedging on that one. I don't know, but I don't think they'll offer it to him.
If he accepts it, he could be hurt. And I think the Red Sox would know if he's hurt or not. I don't know if it's commonplace for a team to make him have a physical before they offer him that. It's common in free agency, but I'm not sure as far as the qualifying offer. And then would Giolito be willing to do it would be another thing. So, I mean, if there's not absolute certainty that what happened in September was just, he just simply wore out. He hadn't pitched. He hadn't had a load like that in, you know, 2 or 3 years. Maybe that's what it was. And if that's all it is, then, you know, he theoretically he should be fine. The other thing that I questioned all last winter was he had the bracing procedure, not the full Tommy John. So we don't know what the shelf life is for, you know, how long can they come back and be effective with only the bracing procedure. So if there's a shred of uncertainty, they probably don't offer it to him, but I was shocked when they gave it to Nick Pivetta, and then I was doubly shocked that he opted out. So that he declined it rather. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. And Baseball America projected him to get Giolito 3 years, $65 million. So that's very comparable to the Chris Bassett deal with Toronto a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think at the end of the day, they can upgrade. You know, it's, look, he had a good year for you, but definitely started to show some cracks later on. So I think ultimately it's going to be for the best if for both parties if they just move on. So around baseball, some interesting names kind of coming off the board in terms of opting back in with their current teams. On the pitching side, Shane Bieber has opted into the second year of his deal with Toronto. So he will be back with the Blue Jays. Jack Flaherty is another one. He has opted into his second year with the Detroit Tigers. And as far as pitchers opting out, I think one of the shocking ones was Shota Imanaga opting out with the Chicago Cubs. I think that one was a bit of a surprise. So do any of those names, you know, in terms of Bieber and Flaherty, were those guys that you maybe would have wanted to target if they were available? And then is Imanaga one that now you're intrigued by or maybe not? What do you think, Chris?
Imanaga is somewhat intriguing. I don't necessarily know about Bieber. I've kind of been 50-50 on him. There's days where I feel like, oh, that'd be an interesting option for us. I really don't have any interest in Flaherty at all, to be frankly honest. It all depends on the money, to be honest with you. It's with those two in particular. Imanaga's somewhat interesting. You said Cease, which... if you want to talk about something really creative, I hate to go right back to what we were talking about before, but imagine if you did a crazy trade. And Terry's going to somewhat love this, but also absolutely hate it. What if you traded Story, Meyer?
Okay.
And Story, Meyer, and a pitching prospect for Cease, Bogarts, pending that they eat some of that money, obviously, because there's no way we're going to do it. But it gets us Terry's favorite player as well.
Tatis.
That would free up a lot of money for them and give them a lot of flexibility moving forward, taking on Mayer, a very good contract in Trevor Story, especially if they're dumping Bogarts. Yeah, they'll have to eat some of it. They get their shortstop of the future. We won't have one, but I don't know, kind of it's a crazy one, but we get our power bat.
So the only thing is you don't have to do that. Cease is a free agent.
Well, I'm saying if they were to sign into some sort of contract or extension, or it was like a sign and trade deal. Sorry.
Sign and trade. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then that really would be, that's a lot. That's a lot of money changing hands. Yeah.
That's why I said it's crazy, but it's an interesting one.
So I'm not that high on Cease, actually. And I feel like he's due for a Tommy John here in the next couple of years. I was just looking at Bieber. Let me pull up Cease real quick. So Cease is what, right around 30? He'll be 30 in December. And didn't have a great year, 4.55 ERA. Did strike out 215 guys over 168 innings. So the strikeouts are still there. I think his walk rate was only 3.8, so not terrible. And actually, he did have the highest strikeout per nine of any starting pitcher in 2025. But the lack of consistency bothers me. Somebody a couple of years ago compared him to Rick Porcello, and I'm like, oof, that's that spooked me a little bit. But I guess I just don't trust the longevity with Cease. Basically, is what I'm most fearful of. As far as Bogarts, they would have to eat at least half the money. And maybe more than that. He's signed through age 41, so I can't really. He's breaking down bad at. He was 20 in 2013, so I guess that would make him 32 right now. Probably turning 33 before long. So I don't. As much as I love Tatis, I just can't. I just can't do it, unfortunately. And if Bogarts came back, I'd want him to be a first baseman.
Well, that's what I was just about to say, is if you brought him back with the intention of either putting him temporarily at second and then putting him at first base long-term for the duration of the remainder of the contract, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I would love to have Tatis here. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like taking on the Bogarts money is the concerning part. I'm with Terry on that. That contract is so outrageously stupid.
They'd have to eat half. If they didn't eat half, it's not even, we don't even talk about
it. At least half. It'd be baseball malpractice to take on another team's stupid contract like that. So yeah, they'd have to have at least half, but I don't know. I still am not sure I would do it. It's a lot of moving pieces. I'm not sure about Bogarts in the long term, in terms of how he's going to be in the field. Like the fact that he's already had to move positions, I'm not even sure how he'd be at first base. I don't know. It's just too risky for my book. And I love Dylan Cease. He's the guy I want. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but The fact that he's out there as a free agent, I think he'd be a good, solid number two behind Crochet. But even for that, that's too big of a price for me, I think.
So with Shota Imanaga, I'm just looking at his stuff. I mean, my knee-jerk reaction was, yes, absolutely interested. But he seemed to fall off a little bit. His ERA was close to a full run higher. He pitched 30 fewer innings in 2025. He'll be 32 coming up. And those Japanese guys typically are pretty high mileage by the time they get over here. And the most glaring stat to me is in 2024, he had a 9.0 strikeout per nine, which is very good. Last year, 7.3, which is about league average, but that's a pretty significant drop. So unless it's like maybe a 2-year deal, and I think he'll command more than that, I'd probably pass on him at this point.
I didn't realize he was 32 already. That's a great point, because they do come over here in a lot of cases with that high mileage. So even on a short deal, and I really kind of feel like he's been battling injuries on and off the last 2 years, not major ones, but I might just be out on it altogether now that I know he's 32.
Yeah, the age is a concern. The injuries have started to creep up. And at the end of the day, even if you wanted him, is he not the most obvious Los Angeles Dodger of all time? I mean, come on. Obviously he's going to go there. So you can try. I mean, if the Red Sox really want him, they can try. But he's going to be a Dodger by the stroke of midnight at this point. I mean, that's just the way it's going. They all want to go play with Shohei. So he's probably going to go there. It's not going to matter. But either way, I think I'm with you guys anyway. Like, the age and the injuries, it's just, I don't know. I'd rather go for a more sure thing. And look, not all pitchers are sure things. At the end of the day, you know, these guys all, you know, their arms fly off at some point. So you're taking a risk either way. But yeah, Imanaga, I think I'm a no on. Couple of quick offensive options that have come up. So Rhys Hoskins with the Brewers, if we're looking for a first base option, he has opted out. So are we yay or nay on Rhys Hoskins?
I'm out.
It depends on what he's going to sign for. And I guess there's people in front of him that I prefer, but if January gets here and we haven't done anything and all my guys have signed, I might be open to it.
Well, all right. So let's put it this way. Let's say January gets here. Pete Alonso's off the board. He's already signed somewhere else. And Red Sox have filled out their infield, whether Bregman comes back or not. But first base is still a question mark. They haven't signed anybody, and it's still just Tristan Casas posting stupid Instagram things every week. And Rhys Hoskins is still sitting out there, hasn't signed with anyone yet. Do you take a shot? Do you, you know, if it's low money, 1-year deal, 1-2-year deal, whatever, or are you just completely out?
I mean, I think I'm still out. I mean, what did he bat last year? 237, 12 home runs, 43 RBIs.
And he got hurt, too. He missed some time with injury.
I just about to say 279 at-bats. Yeah, but even looking at his last couple – yeah, I'm out. He's 32 years old. I don't want him.
Completely out?
Yeah, he'll be 33, actually, in spring training. Yeah, like I said, I mean, if we're the last dog at the bowl, I'd probably kick the tires on him. I would think it would be a 1 or 2 year deal tops. And, I take him over Casas. Let's just be real.
Yeah, I take just about anything over Tristan Casas at this point. So we'll see.
You know. The bar should be, at a minimum, Eugenio Suarez. Kyle Schwarber should be perfectly reasonable, and I would still sign Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso was quoted recently saying he knows he'll likely be a DH by the end of his deal, but that's fine because you've got Yoshida for 2 more years at DH. And then, you know, if Alonso has to go to DH sooner than we expect, he can. But that bat at Fenway Park would be electric, as would Suarez, if you want to go the discount option. So those are my guys. And if we're serious, that's what we're doing.
The amount of, and now I recognize Pete Alonso is not technically on the Mets at this point, but the amount of Mets fans that I've heard here in New York on sports radio calling and talk about like how interested they would be in having Tristan Casas, and if they wish there could be some sort of deal where there could be some sort of sign and trade and get Tristan Casas is like laughable. The one thing that does concern me is it's unanimous that like every Mets fan would not want Pete Alonso back playing first base. If he came back, it would be strictly for DH. So to get him and then put him at first base defensively kind of scares me. But that bat, it would be just freaking fantastic at Fenway Park. So I'm willing to gamble. I don't know why, but after watching the playoffs, I want nothing to do with Eugenio Suarez. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to really help us at all. I'm not saying he's not a good hitter. I know he's got a fair amount of RBIs and home runs, but just watching him like get us to that next step in the playoffs, I don't believe he's a guy that's going to help us get there. Just my opinion in watching him.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked Suarez because of the power, but he is getting up there. I mean, he's 34, going on 35, so, and he's, you know, he's a bigger guy, so he can still hit power, but his swing and miss rate is starting to go up at a kind of an alarming rate. And that's, to me, that's age. The swing is slowing down. So yeah, when he runs into one, yeah, it goes 500 feet. But, you know, for a team that already strikes out quite a bit, you're adding at least 200 with Eugenio Suarez. So it's a shame because it's a guy I really like, but I feel like it's a couple of years too late for the Red Sox to kind of cash in on him. So, and I know Alonso strikes out too, but I think he doesn't strike out nearly as much as Suarez did. I think he actually improved on his strikeout rate this past year. So yeah, I'd rather Alonso over Suarez at this point to play first base.
Well, and the interesting thing with Eugenio Suarez and what really like kind of took me by surprise in the playoffs, the amount of like strikes right down the middle that he didn't even swing at. Like to me, if you're going to swing and miss, like, yeah, we certainly don't need it on this team, but at least go down trying. Nothing drives me more crazy than when a guy just watched to go right down the middle. And he got into so many fights with the umpires over like blatant strikes right down the middle. It's like, dude, just you got to swing. If you miss, great. But you can't watch it go right down the middle.
I didn't realize he was, yeah, so he's born in July. So he'll be 35 midway through the season. What were his postseason numbers here? Let's see. He batted 308 in the ALCS with a 379 on base. ALDS was way worse, 0.95 with a 1.36. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd still be somewhat open to it, but how many strikeouts this past year? I got it right here. Was it 200?
I feel like it was, or at least close.
Yeah, 196. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it was right under, what did you say, Tara?
196.
Yeah, it's literally right under. All right.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to put ourselves in the Alonzo or bust category. So, but we'll see. And then I don't know what about Bregman?
Yeah, so there was a tweet or a report from Jim Bowden, former GM there, said that he feels like it's unlikely that there'll be a Red Sox reunion with Alex Bregman because they won't be willing to give him the long-term deal that he's seeking. So that kind of goes against what we've heard at least locally. Because I feel like locally, from Carrabas to Cotillo, they've all been saying like, no, he'll be back. Don't worry. It's just a formality. He'll be back. People are posting on Instagram today. He's working out with Rob Refsnyder in the offseason. I don't put too much stock in that. These guys all work out with each other. So not a big deal there. But yeah, some national water on the, you know, cool water on it in terms of, guy named Jim Bowden who doesn't think the Red Sox will match what Bregman is looking for. So, Chris, what do you think?
I mean, if he gets anywhere close to what he thinks he's going to get, I don't think there's a chance that we have him, nor do I think we should pay it. I forgot if it was Heyman or Passan, or Passan, however you say it. One of them, or both, one tweeted the other that they feel like he's meant to be a Red Sox. And maybe he is a perfect fit. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of out on him at this point. My gun to my head, I don't think he's a Red Sox next year. And I'm not going to cry about it. Unless we literally do nothing, then I'm going to cry about everything. But he'll be the last thing I cry about.
His numbers had been kind of sliding as he got into free agency. Like, that was the talk. There was a downward trend in, you know, a lot of categories. And then he was off the charts in April and May, but then started to cool down and the quad thing happened. And I mean, he just wasn't super productive offensively in the second half. And I think he's going to be, what, 32 this year? And, yeah. You know, I just hope, I mean, what if you lock him up to a 6-year deal and turns out he's on the Arenado program, you know, where he just really, really fades. So I didn't see it. This wasn't like Mike Lowell 2007, you know, where you just absolutely had to sign him, you know, just off the charts for that one season, during the season, during the postseason. You know, Lowell only got a 3-year deal. He was a little bit older though, but so you look at the Story deal, you look at the Yoshida deal, and you're counting down the years till you're finally free of that. And we did the same thing with Pedroia. We did the same thing with Sandoval. I don't want to get back into that with Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I've always maintained I feel like he's going to be back, but I don't know. The reporting the last few days has me kind of questioning that. If he's really thinking he's going to get like 6-7 years, then bye-bye. Like, I'm not interested at that point. And I don't know why this comp pops into my head, because they're very different builds in terms of the size and everything, but I feel like a long-term contract for Bregman is going to age similarly to like what DJ LeMahieu's did with the Yankees, where he was really good for them, you know, was a hitting machine, you know, eventually moved to third base off of second, but was still playing pretty well. And then the injuries started to happen and he dropped off a cliff, and just, he went from a guy who was like good for 170 hits a year to a guy who couldn't get on the field. And now they're still stuck with his contract. They're still paying him. So it just, that's what scares me. It's just the quad injury, for it to happen a second time. Like, that severe of a quad injury shouldn't happen to you a second time. Like, you should learn how to condition properly and not have that continue to happen. You know, this is not like a structural thing where, I don't know, there's an excuse built in. So it's starting to scare me a little bit. And look, I know that they don't have anyone at third base if he does leave, so that's a concern. But again, that's where, as you keep saying, Terry, like, can we get a GM to be creative? Or sorry, not GM. They hate when I say GM. President of baseball operations, to get creative and maybe make a trade. Not for a Nolan Arenado, but something a little better. Like, that's what I would hope. If Bregman does walk, you know, do something there. So I'm starting to feel like he's not coming back. And if he goes out and gets a 6-7 year deal from who knows what, fine. You know, you can have him, because the injury plus the way he played in the second half. And then I'm still irked by the Red Sox fighting for a wild card spot and the report coming out that, oh, Alex Bregman's going to opt out. Like, that was clearly his camp leaking that to Passan. Being like, yep, yeah, no, we're going to opt out because he wanted to start to create leverage. Like, at that time, you call yourself a leader and the team's fighting for a wild card and you leak a report about your contract? Like, I don't know. That just contradicts the whole, like, oh, Bregman's such a great teammate and such a leader. I don't think so. I think he's, you know, he was a mercenary. He knew he was here on basically a 1-year deal. He got hurt, started to slide, and he's like, well, I need to, you know, bump up my, you know, my free agency, you know, appeal here. So let me leak this report because, you know, whatever. So it just, that whole thing irked me. So at the end of the day, I think I'm all set if he goes somewhere else.
It's going to be a much different winter for him this year because Boris knows, and I pointed this out maybe a month or so ago, Boris knows he can't just let him sit out there until January. You're just going to have to test the waters until the winter meetings, and then you're going to have to take the best deal. Like, that's the only play here. And they're asking for like 175, 180 over 6 years. I doubt that happens. And then at that point, I think they have to take the first 140 or 150 that's offered. And I did see some speculation today that maybe the Phillies could be interested. I think Alex Bohm might be a free agent, and I could see Dombrowski doing that. I think Dombrowski knows he's not going to be here till the end of that contract anyway. So I could see that happening. And, you know, the Tigers could be interested. I think a number of teams will come to the table for him on a 4 to 5 year deal for sure. And I don't expect the Red Sox to jump in, but it's going to be a faster deal this time.
I could see the Yankees being in on him as well.
Perfect. Do it. Do it.
Yep, he'll become a villain all over again. You know, he'll be back in his Astros days. So, yeah. But, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
That would be the trash can tour for him, you know. What two teams got screwed the most besides the Dodgers? It was the Red Sox and the Yankees.
It's true, yeah. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens with Bregman. Obviously, like we said, we know that Story's back. We'll see what happens with his positioning on the field, what they decide to do with him. Probably won't know that until we get closer to spring. And hopefully Red Sox start to make some moves. Obviously, it's early. Winter meetings haven't happened yet, so still some time there. But should be, we hope, an active offseason for the Red Sox, because if it's just we're letting money walk out the door and it's going to be Romy Gonzalez at third base, I think we're all going to be pretty pissed about that. So let's hope for some more news. Whenever anything breaks, obviously, we'll be here. So keep an eye on your Twitter feeds. Keep an eye on your podcast feeds. We'll be right with you every step of the way this winter. So everyone, enjoy yourselves, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.